This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is Adam Putnam, CEO of Ducks Unlimited. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. Learn more about the benefits of the sugar industry to the nation at sugaralliance.org. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with DU's Adam Putnam next. Did you know the price of U.S. sugar for American households is about 5% lower than other developed countries? In the U.S., 11,000 sugar beet and sugarcane farmers produce sugar under some of the world's strictest safety, labor, and environmental standards. These hardworking Americans support 151,000 jobs across two dozen states, maintain a reliable domestic supply chain, and contribute over $23 billion to the economy. American sugar companies pay fair wages and offer good benefits to their workers, including union jobs vital to rural and urban communities. The sugar program is the safety net for sugar producers in the Farm Bill. It has strong bipartisan support in Congress and is designed to cost the taxpayer $0. The current sugar program provides flexibility to allow for a reliable supply throughout the year and to accommodate imported foreign sugar required under our trade commitments. Weakening the sugar program would lead to greater dependence on unreliable foreign suppliers, costing us American farmers, blue-collar jobs, and domestic food security for this essential ingredient. For more, visit the American Sugar Alliance at sugaralliance.org. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. In a press release last month, Ducks Unlimited CEO Adam Putnam said no single piece of legislation had greater impact on the nation's food supply than the Farm Bill. His remarks included accolades for farmers and ranchers and their commitment to conservation practices and protecting wildlife habitat. Putnam believes it will take a strong commitment from a diverse group of food, farm, wildlife, and environmental groups to see a new Farm Bill approved.
We are leaning in, and we believe that it's going to take a broad-based coalition to get this Farm Bill passed. My first Farm Bill that I worked on was back in 2002, and back then we said it was going to be hard to get passed. And they haven't gotten any easier since then. And so a coalition like the one that we rolled out with partners as diverse as Farm Bureau and Farmers Union and Feeding America, along with conservation groups like Ducks Unlimited, that's exactly the kind of coalition that it's going to take to help our friends on the Hill drag this across the finish line, hopefully this year. That's probably a little optimistic, but hopefully this year, next year at the latest, we've got to get this thing done, and they need our help, and all of us recognize that we need to put an oar in the water and start rowing. It is important to Ducks Unlimited because it is important to farmers and ranchers, and Ducks Unlimited cannot accomplish our mission without our working lands partners who also feed the planet. And so it's important to them, and therefore it's important to us. It also has a very important conservation title that we use those programs to the benefit of working land owners, as well as for Ducks Unlimited's mission, to accomplish both of our goals, which is profitable revenue streams for family farms to not only productively feed the world, but also do an awful lot of good for wildlife, for water recharge, for carbon sequestration, and a whole host of other conservation benefits. So we have watched that balance shift over the years, where it has become less and less farm oriented, but it still will not pass without that farm coalition. And we are going to, we are proud to be a part of that farmer and rancher coalition to get it done.
Is the nation and the world's concentration on climate and climate change emphasizing the conservation portion of this bill?
You know, that's a good question. You know, certainly there has been a tremendous amount of investment in conservation programs at USDA as part of the larger administration emphasis and congressional emphasis on climate-related programs. And so in that sense, there is a strong recognition of that. As you know, one of the issues that the House and the Senate will have to resolve is the allocation of the dollars that were originally put in through the IRA, and much of that was climate related, and we trust our partners to work through those issues and ultimately come to a satisfactory decision that will get us the Farm Bill, the votes to pass. So for all of those reasons, it certainly has a seat at the table that is larger than it has ever been before.
I would have said in past Farm Bills that the conservation title would have almost been a savings account, because it seems as if there were ever times that the USDA needed additional money, they could rob it from conservation. But the fact that Ms. Stabenow and others were able to secure additional funds for existing conservation programs that were oversubscribed, she has certainly made it well known they were passed for conservation and they remain for conservation.
You know, her leadership has resulted in those dollars being as substantial as they are, and the conservation title has certainly seen its importance grow. It is more than just a commodity title bill now, as we know, but they all work hand in hand, and in order for there to be the coalition of votes to pass a true farm bill, the conservation caucus has to be on board, and we are enthusiastically on board. And the nutrition title obviously has seen its clout increase over the past several farm bills as well. Hence this coalition that is broad-based and a recognition, I think, that it will take everyone providing some cover for congressional leaders to get this bill done in what is a challenging market environment, a challenging political environment, a challenging spending environment. There are a lot of factors, a lot of headwinds working against this farm bill. And our job is to lock arms with our partners at Farm Bureau and the other coalition partners like Feeding America to get this thing done.
A couple of years ago, I think there might have been people in the country that were of a mindset that the Department of Agriculture was about to set some standards at which if you farm this way, if you did this or did that, you'd get a check from Uncle Sam. How do we encourage, from the agriculture perspective, what are the things that farmers can do that Washington needs to verify to bring in some of these outside private enterprise dollars in the name of climate, in the name of conservation, in the name of sustainability?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. You know, one of the frustrations that farmers and ranchers have is the lack of a single set of rules or a single definition of what those acceptable practices are. There are supply chain partners who have one definition, perhaps state agencies who have a different, federal agencies who have a different altogether, international influencers who are weighing in, as well as private sector, let's just say financial services type driven standards that are related to ESG disclosure by public companies, that are related to loan standards. There's just so much noise in the system that farmers and ranchers don't really know who to listen to or which way to turn, and that is a fundamental problem if we're going to have something that is simple, predictable, consistent, and widely accepted based on where you are and what you grow. Until that fundamental issue is resolved, I think that there will continue to be confusion and chaos and frustration on the part of someone who is out there on a tractor just trying to feed their family and feed the world in the process of doing that.
Does that fall on the Department of Agriculture?
Well, it's bigger than the Department of Agriculture because there are entities, whether they're federal agencies or disclosure requirements or supply chain partners, who exist outside the jurisdiction of the Department of Agriculture, who are either directly or indirectly influencing what those objectives may be. I would say what those standards are, but there are no standards. But there are influencers outside the jurisdiction, and so it really needs to be broader than just USDA, because you know USDA can certainly have a lot of credibility in terms of what best practices are at the farm gate level, but then you have the reality of what SEC disclosure requirements trickle down the supply chain to ultimately impact what happens behind the farm gate. And so it's USDA certainly needs to be the loudest voice in the room if someone is setting a standard for farmers and ranchers, but we all need to recognize that they're not the only ones who are impacting what decisions are being made on farms and ranches across the U.S. and with our competition around the world.
Unless I misunderstand, the Ducks Unlimited position is still that of voluntary participation in conservation programs. Why is that the best path?
There's a whole lot of reasons why the voluntary approach, from our perspective, is the best path. We believe that when we have a trusting relationship, a partnership with farmers and ranchers, there is a better opportunity for us to educate and raise awareness on the benefits of our conservation approaches that are good for their bottom line, that are good for the yields of the other acres on their property, and certainly are yielding high conservation benefits on what may otherwise be marginal farm ground. And so the voluntary nature of that, I think, improves the trust and confidence between our partners. I think that it is the best way to achieve creativity and having different farmers take different approaches to accomplish similar results rather than a one-size-fits-all out of Washington. And I think that a regulatory approach usually is not well received by farmers and ranchers, and I say that as one, and that's why we have built our culture around one of that voluntary approach that we think has proven to be the most effective.
Since you started working with farmers and lobbying for policy and seeing policy results, can you as well identify progress and results from working with farmers in terms of waterfowl numbers or in environmental management?
There's no question that the remarkable success of Ducks Unlimited's mission has come about because we enjoy a strong partnership with farmers and ranchers in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. We will conserve 750,000 acres next year alone, and it is directly the result of voluntary partnerships between us and landowners, us and USDA, Fish and Wildlife, and other state agencies who make that magic happen. The fact that the scientific community has established that alone among all bird species, only wetlands species of birds have increased in population since 1970 is directly attributable to the wetlands habitat conservation work that Ducks Unlimited has done, primarily on working lands owned by farmers and ranchers. It's not land we own. We own very little land. We have partnerships and voluntary relationships with the people who own that land. And that is the proof of concept that has really, I think, established that as being the right way forward and has enabled us to accomplish unimaginable acre numbers just in the last several years. We are the trajectory of growth that we are on is directly related to the trusting relationships that we have with working landowners across the United States.
I'd like to offer you the opportunity to talk about the EPA and the ongoing saga with Waters of the U.S., most recently significant nexus as a definition struck down by the Supreme Court, and the administration suggesting that they're not going to rewrite but rather amend a current rule. What are your thoughts on this saga, and what of the Supreme Court decision? What does Ducks Unlimited believe should be done?
You know, this is, as you know, this is an issue that has been litigated for many, many years. And all indications are it will continue to be unclear and unresolved as the administration takes another crack at this. This reinforces, number one, the importance of the voluntary approach, because the regulatory approach certainly hasn't worked to the degree that the original authors of the Clean Water Act would have thought. And for Ducks Unlimited, it certainly reinforces the importance of the conservation compliance component of the Farm Bill. And, you know, I think it's also important to point out that with the recent court decision, the sky has not fallen. There are still protections on wetlands across the U.S. And as a farmer, I, you know, frankly sympathize with the fact that landowners have a right to expect some clear standard about whether or not the Corps of Engineers or the EPA is regulating wetlands and potholes and other wetland features on their land, and it has been anything but clear for many years now. And so, you know, the state laws and regulations on water remain in place. Conservation compliance through the Farm Bill remains in place. And we believe that the voluntary work, whether it's through EQIP or easements or CRP or any of the other ag-related programs, still are hugely valuable tools in both feeding the world and protecting wetlands areas that are essential to not only waterfowl, but also water quality for people as well.
So let's do a multiple choice question here, and I'll get you to fill in the blanks after you make your choice. If we had the legal pad and if we were talking to the Agriculture Committee about the Farm Bill and Mr. Thompson and the rest of the group crafting, would we say, A, that the existing conservation programs are enough and there's adequate funding, we're okay, just rubber stamp, copy and paste? Or would we suggest that we've got the right programs, we don't really need anything else new, but we do need a lot more money? That's B. Or would we say, C, that some of our programs are good, but we really need to move on to a program like this or that, and it's going to have a price tag? Which one?
We would say that, by and large, the programs in place are working well, they're well understood, and they have high participation rates. And so it would be B, we don't need to rewrite the farm bill. We need to work out the funding levels and pass it and get going. Ducks Unlimited believes that, for our farm bill priorities, we want flexibility because there's wild variations around the country between what commodities need and what different geographies need. So there also needs to be some certainty that there's a safety net for the farmers and ranchers and that they're going to know what the rules are and be able to play by those rules. Obviously, in this political environment, the big fight is over the money. What happens to the IRA money? How and whether it is redistributed and whether or not it's included in the baseline and all of those factors. And so, the real issue, as we see it, is going to be a fight over money, not over policy.
So in the regulatory business, there is the Department of Agriculture, and the Partnership for Climate Smart Commodities has yielded some additional dollars in particular areas and with particular commodity groups. Do you have any roses to throw at any particular area of that?
As it relates to the Climate Smart grants, the big rose that I would throw there is the work that Ducks Unlimited has done with our partners at USA Rice, the Rice Stewardship Partnership, which began as RCPP and has generated over $100 million for rice producers throughout the 10 years of that program's life. But it has also been the foundation for what was a successful awarding of an $80 million grant to USA Rice to incorporate climate smart ag practices into that commodity. And DU is a partner on that. USA Rice is the lead. But, that is certainly an example where a farm bill program that lasted, 10 years now, had lessons learned, partnerships built, trust established that has then enabled it to take advantage of the climate smart money that has more recently become available. And, I view that as a natural evolution of that original investment by farm bill dollars into rice that is also going to teach the world an awful lot about how we can continue to grow that commodity, but do it in a way that also has climate benefits to it.
What are the headwinds that really stand in the face of this farm bill? And I'll tee up the first. What of the fiscal conservatives, the ultra-conservatives that would like to see significant cuts as opposed to maintaining or expanding farm bill spending?
That certainly is a factor. I mean, the political headwinds, which involve, open Senate seats in the next cycle, the political headwinds of the debt ceiling deal that was passed earlier this year, the political headwinds of constrained spending environment, fewer people from an ag background or from an agricultural district who see and feel and live the importance of the farm bill in their individual districts. That is not necessarily a new headwind, but with every subsequent farm bill, that headwind tends to grow because of the depopulation of rural America, which means that there's fewer voices in Congress, representing their interests, which leads us to this broader coalition that is required to get the farm bill done that includes not only commodity groups, but commodity groups plus nutrition groups plus conservation groups like Ducks Unlimited. That the political headwinds are certainly real. However, agricultural policy historically has been more bipartisan. The Senate generally, everybody considers themselves a farm state senator on this vote. And that has typically helped us overcome those political headwinds in that chamber. But certainly everyone is aware that that those headwinds are there and that we're going to have to work through them. And it's not going to be easy, and it's probably not going to be on time.
Adam Putnam, we want to thank you for taking time to be with us on this edition of Open Mic. There's work to do on a new farm bill and plenty of other work to do for your organization. This is one where, in open mic today, sir, you get the last word.
Well, Ducks Unlimited was founded 86 years ago based on working with farmers and ranchers, and that mission remains strong today. We stand as part of that coalition of commodity groups and Farm Bureau to pass a farm bill, pass it as soon as possible, so that we can not only feed the world, but we can continue to advance the conservation successes that we've enjoyed together, working landowners and conservation organizations like DU. Let's get this bill passed and keep America moving along.
Our thanks to Adam Putnam, CEO of Ducks Unlimited, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. Learn more about the benefits of the sugar industry to the nation at sugaralliance.org. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Daly.